And all of you, the older folks will get this. Younger folks, trust me, there'll come a day. Someday you're going to be sitting on that porch. You're going to be in that rocking chair. And a little one's going to come up to you after been in school where they've been studying the 2024 election. And they're going to ask, when everything was on the line and the American experiment was on the line and there was somebody running who asked to be a dictator and to overturn the Constitution and talk about using the military against our own people, what did you do to stop that from happening? And you're going to be able to say, every damn thing we could. Every damn thing we could.
Leave it all on the field, coach. I'm with you.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast. As heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon, on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News. Oh, Pennsylvania. Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN. Palinville, New York's WLPP. And Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV. Out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN. Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ. In Seattle on KODX. Richmond, Virginia's WRWK. Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today, because Desi Doyen, if I'm not mistaken, this is it, right?
This yes, is it. This is it. We are in the last days to vote for the 2024 election.
Our final show. Before Election Day.
Yep.
So I do hope to open the phone lines up to listeners. That's right. Your turn one last time for your closing arguments. You still got time to get them in at 818-985-5735. The candidates have been putting forward their closing arguments over the past week or so. At least Kamala Harris has. I'm not sure if raising the idea of gunning down Liz Cheney or members of the media, as Trump has done over the past week, is a closing argument or not, but it does seem to be the one that Donald Trump has been most interested in making over the past several days. Here he was in Pennsylvania on Sunday.
And I have this piece of glass here, but all we have really over here is the fake news, right? And to get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much. I don't mind that.
That's hilarious. Shooting through the media who are there to cover Donald Trump's rally. Just a joke, right? That followed just a few days earlier a similar remark with Trump putting former Republican Congresswoman turned Kamala Harris supporter Liz Cheney at the barrel of a gun.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
Oh, that's hysterical, too. Oh, Brad, but the context, Brad. He wasn't calling for Liz Cheney to be shot. He was just saying she's a war hawk. Okay. So then I guess it would be fine to Trump and his supporters if, say, Kamala Harris or any of her supporters actually said in any context, quote, let's put Donald Trump there with a rifle with 9 barrels shooting at him with guns trained on his face. I'm sure Trump supporters would be totally fine with that, right? Of course they wouldn't be. And frankly, neither would I or anyone else. And yet, that is the man who may become the next president of the United States as of this hour. By the way, Liz Cheney responded to that by saying, quote, this is how dictators destroy free nations. They threaten those who speak against them with death. We cannot entrust our country and our freedom to a petty, vindictive, cruel, unstable man who wants to be a tyrant. Hashtag women will not be silenced. Hashtag vote Kamala, said Liz Cheney. Last week on this program, we opened the phones to folks with calling for endorsements of your favorite candidates, whoever they may be. And not surprisingly, when we opened the phones to our live listeners here in Southern California who listen to our flagship Pacifica radio station here in L.A., KPFK, we had more than a few callers calling in to explain that they are voting for Green Party candidate Jill Stein this year, here in what is regarded as a very Democratic-leaning state. Now, I've made my position pretty clear this year that democracy is on the ballot, right alongside authoritarianism in the Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump election, and that in the political environment that we are in right now, a vote for a third party, be it for Jill Stein of the Green Party or Chase Oliver of the Libertarian Party or any of the other so-called third-party candidates who may be on your ballot wherever you may live, a vote for them, I have argued, is essentially a vote for Donald Trump. And not that there's anything wrong with that. And I will fight like hell, as I always do, to make sure that your vote, if you vote that way, is counted as cast along with every other ballot. But I believe it's important for those of us in the media to be straightforward about the effects of your vote, whatever it may be, which is, as always, up to you. And by the way, if you have any problems voting wherever you are in the United States, problems at the polling place of any type, please call 866-OUR-VOTE and report that problem, and they can also help you solve that problem, whatever it may be. If you're having a problem with the voting rolls, with voting machines, or anything else, 866-OUR-VOTE is there to help. But yes, I believe that a vote for a third party is, in fact, a vote for Donald Trump, even here in blue California or any other state where it is, whether it's considered a battleground state or not, because what we know is that if he appears to be losing or not, Donald Trump will declare victory on election night, and likely much earlier this time than he falsely did last time back in 2020. So be prepared for that. If in fact, and based on the current pre-election polling, if you have confidence in it, it all, you know, remains a very big if at this hour. But if, in fact, the evidence shows that Trump is losing the race, you will see a blizzard of challenges and lawsuits unlike anything I believe we've ever seen in this country after an election, including when a presidential election came down to just a few hundred votes in Florida way back in 2000. And when Trump and his supporters filed more than 60 lawsuits from the 2020 election when Trump lost and when there was simply no legitimate evidence of the type of mass fraud or tabulation error that might have reversed the results in Trump's favor. The national popular vote, though it has no actual effect on the Electoral College in our particularly weird presidential elections in this country, in the national popular vote, a huge blowout in favor of Kamala Harris will make any challenges, be it in court or in Congress, by Donald Trump, much more difficult for him to use as leverage in his favor. which is why I've pointed out to my friends, even in deep blue states, that a vote for third party is likely to help Donald Trump. And conversely, by the way, a Trump victory, a real victory for Trump in the national popular vote, as hard as that is to imagine, or a closer race than the 7 million or so votes that he lost by last time, any of that is going to make it easier for Donald Trump to gain traction in his legal and political arguments to try and steal the election this time around, if he does not win it outright. But if it looks like he's losing, that is going to happen. Trump will declare that he won on Tuesday night, whether he actually did or did not. He's already making the argument today that the election is being stolen from him right now. Despite any such evidence to support such claims, he doesn't care. So steel yourselves for that. Know that a declaration of victory by Donald Trump and his campaign on election night will be coming no matter what. And don't panic when it happens. As his supporters make their case for it, almost certainly based on fraudulent evidence. We know that is part of their strategy. And by the way, I don't know in advance that the evidence is fraudulent. Based on their record in the past, it has been fraudulent evidence. But of course, we will look at all the evidence that comes in, as we always do, and try to make sense of it for you as appropriate. So bake all of this into the cake if it looks like Trump is losing on Tuesday. Get used to it. Don't panic over it. Know that it's coming, and know that we'll be looking at everything we can get our eyes on, you know, that's coming over the transom in the next few days or weeks, whatever it takes, to determine, based on my more than two decades or so of reporting on such things, of reporting on voting system problems, voting machine problems, voter registration problems, tabulation errors, and everything else. We will, of course, let you know if the claims are legitimate, if they are election changing, or if they require more investigation one way or another. So as we head into that particular unknown and the final hours of what I describe as phase one of the 2024 election, basically that's everything that happens between now and the close of polls on Tuesday night. There are reportedly both very, very few undecided voters left out there and very few third-party voters in general across the country, though enough in some close, some of the closest states, if they are, in fact, as close as the pre-election polls suggest, there are enough of those third-party votes to make a difference in who ultimately wins both those states and potentially the presidency of the United States along with it. Yes, voters staying home this year or voting third party could in a few days be seen as the decisive factor in this election. And whether a convicted felon, adjudicated rapist and wannabe dictator, quote, dictator on day one, that's his words, his own words, whether he becomes president and rewrites our Constitution and representative democratic republic for generations to come, as he has also promised, again, in his own words, or whether Kamala Harris, who has vowed to restore constitutional rights already taken away from us thanks to the first Trump presidency, whether she will become the first Black and Southeast Asian American woman to become president of the United States. So it is our disproportionately third-party voting listenership here in Southern California or anywhere across the globe, if you're listening via kpfk.org on the live stream. That's who I'm most interested in reaching today, along with the few remaining undecideds out there or even the stay-at-home folks, the people who think they're not going to vote this year despite being eligible to vote, but they choose not to for whatever reason at this historic moment in the most critical election, certainly in modern U.S. history. Actually, it is those folks that I want you to focus on today with your calls at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. I'm wondering, what is your closing argument, your closing message to those voters? The ones who might stay home, the ones who are undecided, the ones who might vote third party. What is your message to them
And by the way, you are welcome to make your case to those voters, whether you are a Harris supporter or a Trump supporter. What's the case you'd like to make to the undecideds and the third party voters? A quick tip, by the way, to Trump supporters. Y'all tend to finally call in late in the hour when I don't have time to bring you on or give you a full hearing. So, hey, get in early. 818-985-5735. Perhaps we can have more of a conversation. 818-985-KPFK. A few points before we open up the phones today. By now, I hope that you all have heard the stunning news out of Iowa over the weekend. Yes, Iowa, from the Des Moines Register, and one of the nation's most highly regarded pollsters. That would be Ann Selzer. She's one of the most highly regarded, not only in Iowa, but everywhere. But the news from this polling is just mind-blowing. Iowa, at least according to Selzer, is in play this year for Kamala Harris, despite voting in overwhelming numbers for Trump in both 2020 and 2016. But according to Selzer's final round of polling in the state, the much-anticipated final round of polling from Ann Selzer and the Des Moines Register, released on Saturday, Kamala Harris actually leads Donald Trump 47-44 in the final Des Moines Register poll. The results follow a September Des Moines Register poll by Selzer in Iowa that showed Trump at the time with a 4-point lead over Harris. Back in June, it showed him with an 18-point lead over the then Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, who was presumed the nominee at that time. But now, had Trump been up over Harris in Iowa in this week's poll by just a couple of points, that would have been a shocker on its own in Iowa. So the fact that Harris is said to be leading Trump in Iowa by 3 points, well, that turned out to be nothing short of a political bombshell over the weekend when it dropped on Saturday. In the final polling from the woman, Ann Selzer, who has a remarkable record for getting it right. I think Nate Silver, the creator of 538.com over the weekend, he said, quote, in a world where most pollsters have a lot of egg on their face, Ann Selzer has near oracle status. She has, in fact, stuck her neck out beyond the pack. And the pack right now is all saying everything's going to be tied in the swing states, et cetera. She's stuck her neck out before and has, more often than not, been proven almost exactly right by the final results. So now what that means, this poll out of Iowa, what it means in other states for what we have come to believe or have been told about an incredibly close election everywhere else, particularly in the so-called battleground states, well, that remains to be seen. But while we don't follow polling numbers very closely on the show, that one, that one, it seems to me, was worth reporting for whatever it turns out to be worth. Now, for the moment, let me get back to third parties, and for our listeners in particular, to the Green Party's presidential nominee again this year, Jill Stein. As author, election expert, and my longtime election integrity colleague, Jonathan Simon, recently observed at the news site Who, What, Why, Stein's candidacy, at least as he sees it, was in no small part to blame for Donald Trump's Electoral College victory back in 2016, the first time that he ran for the White House. Jonathan recently wrote sort of an open letter to Jill Stein. They both went to school together at Yale. But Simon notes that back in 2016, Jill Stein took 1.07% of Michigan's vote. Now, that's not a lot of votes there. But in fact, Trump's margin in the state that year was just 0.22. Jill Stein won 1.04% of Wisconsin's vote that same year, when Trump won that state by 0.77. In 2016, Jill Stein won just 0.81% of the Pennsylvania vote, but Donald Trump ended up winning the state that year, the state that this year is likely to be the tipping point state. He won that by only 0.72. So in all three of those so-called blue wall states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania back in 2016, Jill Stein won more votes than the margin of victory at the time between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Over the weekend, the European Green parties from some 17 states, including Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Moldova, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Poland, and Ukraine, they all released a joint statement calling for the U.S. Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, to step down, to leave the race. They wrote, quote, in their statement, on November 5, 2024, the world will be watching to see whether Americans choose Kamala Harris or Donald Trump to be their next president. Ahead of these pivotal elections, European Greens have called upon U.S. Green Party candidate Jill Stein to withdraw her presidential candidacy and endorse Kamala Harris. The stakes of these elections could not be higher, the Greens note. Donald Trump has promised that if he becomes president again, he will extend abortion bans, deny members of the LGBTQIA plus community their rights, and deport migrants en masse. Like other ultra-conservative politicians across the globe with whom he has close relationships, such as Vladimir Putin, Viktor Orban, and Jair Bolsonaro, Donald Trump would undermine democracy, the Greens warn. The European Green family, made up of Green parties from across Europe, advocates for a politics that prioritizes the planet, people, and peace above corporate greed, systemic injustice, and violence. We are clear, they write, that Kamala Harris is the only candidate who can block Donald Trump and his anti-democratic authoritarian policies from the White House. This election, they say, takes place at a watershed moment in the history of our planet. We face a climate crisis that is worsening every year with heat waves, floods, and a loss of biodiversity at a rate that has never been seen before. Climate policies require democratic institutions, which we fear would be dismantled if Trump is elected. And the European Green parties have every reason to be fearful of exactly that, because that's what Donald Trump has said he will do. On top of this, they note, wars are raging and authoritarianism is growing throughout the world. In this crucial moment, Europe needs Kamala Harris as president of the United States to be a reliable partner and to take the urgent, decisive action needed on the climate crisis and to bring about a just and sustainable peace in the Middle East. European Greens also highlighted the divergent values and policies of themselves and Jill Stein's U.S. Green Party. They note there is no link between the two because U.S. Greens are no longer a member of the Global Organization of Green Parties. They explain that this fissure resulted from their relationship, the U.S. Greens, with parties with authoritarian leaders and serious policy differences on key issues, including Russia's full-scale assault on Ukraine. Right now, they conclude, the race for the White House is too close for comfort. We call on Jill Stein to withdraw from the race and endorse Kamala Harris for the presidency of the United States. Now, Jill Stein has made clear she ain't doing that. She's staying in the race. She ain't going anywhere. But that is from the European Green parties in about, more than a dozen, about 17 different countries, asking her, begging her essentially to step down and support Kamala Harris for fear that Donald Trump will win because of her participation in the race.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to underscore, you know, since we cover climate in our Green News Report, how much Donald Trump has promised to do. He has promised to roll back all of U.S. climate policy, roll back all the new emissions and pollution standards that have been enacted in just the last 2 years, repeal the Inflation and Reduction Act, permanently withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Climate Agreement again, and make it so that the U.S. can never re-enter. And so he's basically promising to expand fossil fuels and expand policies that will not only increase U.S. emissions, but reverse the slow but steady reduction that we're seeing in U.S. emissions.
Which is
right
something
now.
That the Green parties, at least in Europe, see quite clearly. Apparently, the U.S. Green Party, at least as it's led by Jill Stein, do not. And by the way, you know, I've interviewed Jill Stein on this show over the years, interviewed her a number of times back in 2016. I've voted at various times in my life for the Green Party presidential candidate. But I'm just reading you and I'm reporting to you what the actual stakes are here and what the European Greens have to say about her and the U.S. Green Party. And one more argument along similar lines here before we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with your closing message to undecideds or to third party voters or those considering not voting at all this year for some reason. Vermont's independent, self-declared Democratic Socialist U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders has been out barnstorming in favor of Kamala Harris over the past week. And early last week, he had his own message to such voters, those considering not voting at all or voting for a third party candidate or still having trouble, I guess, making their final decision in no small part due to the Biden-Harris administration's position on Israel and Gaza. I want to play Bernie Sanders' sort of closing arguments to those folks, which he posted last week and which has racked up millions of views, before we then get to your closing arguments to the very same folks at 818-985-5735 in these final hours before polls close on Tuesday. In his remarks, Sanders also focused not only on those who might oppose Kamala Harris because of Israel, but what this election means to the critical issue of the loss of rights for women, which he describes as unacceptable, the fight against climate change in the event of a Trump victory, climate change would be, quote, over, the fight against it would be over. Not to mention Sanders' opposition to Trump's promised tax breaks for the rich and Trump's recent racist, xenophobic, misogynistic rally, his closing argument last week at Madison Square Garden in New York City at the site of an infamous American Nazi Party rally back in 1939. Here is Senator Sanders.
I understand that there are millions of Americans who disagree with President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on the terrible war in Gaza. I am one of them. While Israel had a right to defend itself against the horrific Hamas terrorist attack of October 7th, which killed 1,200 innocent people and took 250 hostages, it did not have the right to wage an all-out war against the entire Palestinian people. It did not have the right to kill 42,000 Palestinians, two-thirds of whom were children, women, and the elderly, or injure over 100,000 people in Gaza. It did not have the right to destroy Gaza's infrastructure, housing, and healthcare system. It did not have the right to bomb every one of Gaza's 12 universities. It did not have the right to block humanitarian aid, causing massive malnutrition in children and, in fact, starvation. And that is why I am doing everything I can to block U.S. military aid and offensive weapon sales to the right-wing extremist Netanyahu government in Israel. And I know that many of you share those feelings. And some of you are saying, how can I vote for Kamala Harris if she is supporting this terrible war? And that is a very fair question. And let me give you my best answer. And that is that even on this issue, Donald Trump and his right-wing friends are worse. In the Senate, in Congress, the Republicans have worked overtime to block humanitarian aid to the starving children in Gaza. The President and Vice President both support getting as much humanitarian aid into Gaza as soon as possible. Trump has said Netanyahu is doing a good job and has said Biden is holding him back. He has suggested that the Gaza Strip would make excellent beachfront property for development. And it is no wonder Netanyahu prefers to have Donald Trump in office. But even more importantly, and this I promise you, after Kamala wins, we will together do everything that we can to change U.S. policy toward Netanyahu. An immediate ceasefire, the return of all hostages, a surge of massive humanitarian aid, the stopping of settler attacks on the West Bank, and the rebuilding of Gaza for the Palestinian people. And let me be clear, we will have, in my view, a much better chance of changing U.S. policy with Kamala than with Trump, who is extremely close to Netanyahu and sees him as a like-minded, right-wing extremist ally. But let me also say this, and I deal with this every single day as a U.S. senator. As important as Gaza is, and as strongly as many of us feel about this issue, it is not the only issue at stake in this election. If Trump wins, women in this country will suffer an enormous setback and lose the ability to control their own bodies. That is not acceptable. If Trump wins, to be honest with you, the struggle against climate change is over. While virtually every scientist who has studied the issue understands that climate change is real and an existential threat to our country and the world, Trump believes it is a hoax. And if the United States, the largest economy in the world, stops transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel, every other country, China, Europe, all over the world, they will do exactly the same thing. And God only knows the kind of planet we will leave to our kids and future generations. If Trump wins at a time of massive income and wealth inequality, he will demand even more tax breaks for the very richest people in our country while cutting back on programs that working families desperately need. The rich will only get richer, while the minimum wage will remain at $7.25 an hour, and millions of our fellow workers will continue to earn starvation wages. Did you all see the recent Trump rally at Madison Square Garden? Well, I did. And what I can tell you is that as a nation, as all of you know, we have struggled for years against impossible odds to try to overcome all forms of bigotry, whether it is racism, whether it's sexism, whether it's homophobia, whether it's xenophobia, you name it. We have tried to fight against bigotry. But that is exactly what we saw on display at that unbelievable Trump rally. It was not a question of speakers getting up there disagreeing with Kamala Harris on the issues. That wasn't the issue at all. They were attacking her simply because she was a woman and a woman of color. Extreme, vulgar sexism and racism. Is that really the kind of America that we can allow? So let me conclude by saying this. This is the most consequential election in our lifetimes. Many of you have differences of opinion with Kamala Harris on Gaza. So do I. But we cannot sit this election out. Trump has got to be defeated. Let's do everything we can in the next week to make sure that Kamala Harris is our next president. Thank you very much.
That was Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders giving his closing argument as to why he is endorsing Kamala Harris, despite disagreeing with strongly with the Biden-Harris administration's policy on Israel. His closing arguments. He believes there are other issues, essentially, on the ballot this year that far outweigh that particular one. But I'm wondering, what is your closing argument to such voters, to those voters who are sitting out thinking of not going in, not voting, can't decide, or are going to vote for a third party candidate who will not win this year's presidential election, but will take votes away from, well, one of the two candidates who will win this year's election? So what is your closing argument to those voters? Give us a call, 818-985-5735. And yes, that number is open to those of you Trump supporters as well who might want to make your own closing arguments to those very same folks. 818-985-KPFK. This is it. Your last chance to make your case before the polls close on Tuesday. Your calls are straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently, without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Ooh. It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling. Be mine tonight. Tomorrow. It's now or never. My love won't wait.
Welcome back to The Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. It is now or never. With just one more day to go, Election Day, to cast your vote around the nation. What is your closing argument, your closing message for those who may be undecided, who may be thinking about sitting this one out, or who are planning to vote for a third-party candidate in what is, as every single shred of evidence makes crystal clear, a two-person race for the White House between Democrat Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump. Give me a call, 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735. Anything that you might tell such a voter today. Jesse called in, said he couldn't stick around, but notes, if you don't vote, you just voted. Good point, Jesse. Pouffet writes in to me, and you can do this as well. I am bradcast@bradblog.com to say, how many Green Party members make up Congress? How would Ms. Stein govern if elected? Do we know her policies? How to lead with no support in Congress? Love you both, says Pouffet. We love you too. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Sophia in Bellflower. Hey, Sophia, welcome to the Bradcast.
Oh, hi, Sophia. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing good as well.
What's your message to people like that, to voters like that?
I actually had a question today. I understand that there is a very, you know, it's a very clear decision, right? You know, vote for the lesser evil. But my question is, if the Electoral College picks who the winner will be, does it truly matter if we choose to vote for the lesser evil, or if we choose to vote third party, or if we don't choose to vote at all?
So, legally, in general, the answer to that question is no, it shouldn't matter. The Electoral College is how we decide our presidential races. It's kind of a lousy system, but that's how we do it. So, no, the national vote normally would not matter. However, we have a guy, you may have heard of him, Donald Trump, who's running for office, who is looking for anything and everything that he can use to both legally and politically steal the election if he does not win it outright. And by the way, he very well may win it outright. But like in 2020, when he lost, he looked for any and all ways that he could steal it. And in fact, an overwhelming victory in the national popular vote, even more overwhelming than it was last time when Joe Biden won by about 7 million votes, would make that argument much harder for him to make all around the country. In every state where they're, if it's much closer than it was in states where the Democrat lost last time, if it's instead of 3 or 4 million extra votes here in California, it's 10 million votes. So, yes, as I expect phase two of this election to play out, yes, it will very much make a difference who is winning in the popular vote, as I see it.
Okay, I understand that perspective. Thank you for explaining.
Have you voted already, Karen?
Yes, my name is Sophia, and I voted today.
I'm sorry, Sophia. I had the wrong person. Sophia, oh, and you voted today. Good. Well done. Congratulations. Thank you for participating. And thanks for the call, Sophia. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Devon in Venice. Hey, Devon, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
I just want to say one thing. I have two very powerful women that have I've carried the signs. I've carried the flag. I'm against the genocide. I wasn't going to vote for her, and they said no. So I got to do what they say.
So you've had some women bully you into voting for Kamala Harris? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, not at all. I love them very much, and they told me, be wise.
All right. And what was their argument for it?
That they don't want Trump in there.
Okay, but they didn't give you a specific reason, Devon?
No, that's okay. It.
All right.
It's just I got to do what they say.
Okay. All right.
I love them very much.
All right, Devon, I appreciate that. Thank you for letting us know. 818-985-KPFK. Of course, nobody should be bullied into voting for whoever they want to vote for. But making the case, I know that Devon was not bullied. He said so himself. But making the case to people that you know, people that you love, family members, co-workers, etc., I think is very important right now. So that's why I'm hoping y'all will call in and make your case to those voters. Let me go to Hal in Huntington Beach. Hey, Hal, welcome to the broadcast.
How's it going, man?
It's going okay. Ask me in a few days, but what's up?
Yeah. Hey, this is what happens when you let money trump everything. I mean, you got the richest man in the world holding a lotto for votes.
Yep.
You got, corporate media. The media is run by Fox News, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, another billionaire.
Yep.
You know, and if this has been a long, slow process of dismantling democracy. I mean, they got rid of the requirement for news to be, paid for by the networks. And then they take away the requirement for you cannot have more than one or two stations in each area.
Yeah. And listen, John, I agree with I'm sorry, you're not John. You're Hal. That's my mistake. Hal. So Hal.
Oh man, I'm hurt. My feelings are hurt now, man.
Sorry. Yes, and I agree with all of your concerns about the media, as you probably know if you've heard me for 5 minutes. But today, is there an argument that you would make to people who are thinking about staying home, undecided, or voting third party?
Well, I mean, this is one of the richest guys in the world, being supported by all the other rich guys in the world. And he's getting all his money from the oil companies and the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Who do you think he's going to support? You think he's going to be for the common man? But, I mean, all of us here, we're not going to make a difference, basically. It's going to be in the battle is going to be in the battleground states, whatever, the 7 or 8 of them that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got a 40% block that's basically Trump supporters. And another, 40%, 40, maybe 42% Kamala Harris.
I will just say that a percentage point or two across the country equates into millions of votes. And that is the millions of votes that might make a difference. If Donald Trump loses, let's say, in a scenario by a few hundred thousand votes versus losing by 10 or 15 million votes, he's got a very different political landscape that he will make his argument on when he tries to steal the election, if he tries to steal the election, if he, doesn't win it outright. So that's where I disagree that it does make a difference, Hal.
Look at Hillary. She won by over 3 million votes in California.
Yep.
But she lost by the Electoral College.
That's right. That's right.
Let's say Philadelphia or Pennsylvania is, goes, they need to go to a recount for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
and it goes, it becomes like Florida.
Yeah.
In when
That's
Gore
right.
versus Bush.
Right.
Who do you think is going to go to the Supreme Court, which is loaded with how many in favor of
That's
Trump?
Right. And again, I think you're making my argument, which is a decisive victory, and frankly, a decisive victory either way, either for Kamala Harris or for Donald Trump, will help at least to avoid some of that hell. I gotta go. I got a lot of people who want to get in. Thanks for your call, Hal, and your thoughts here. I agree with pretty much all of them. Pretty much. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Randy in Huntington Beach. Hey, Randy. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Brad. I think this is a dictionary election. It's going to define who we are for the next couple of generations.
Mm.
It's going to help us decide or, you know, whether we still value truth and honesty and justice, or we're going to look the other way while, you know, lies and distortions can cannibalize the Republican Party. You know, you look at the people who fled the Republican Party, you know, Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, Nick Fuentes, for crying out loud. Forbes reported more than 100 former ex-GOP members left, and the New York Times reported more than 700 current and former national security officials all back Harris. So all that's left in the GOP is a hollowed-out husk. You know, this is a chance for the Republican Party to decide whether it wants to continue their losing streak or whether it should reform under a brand-new banner. The party's lost so many elections in recent years that it no longer campaigns on issues. In 2020, they had no political platform. They just had Trump. And this election is the right-wing Project 2025. And all of these policies are have extremely limited support, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The only way they've been able to get anything through is through sowing doubt and chaos and voter suppression and cheating. Now, eventually, Trump finally admitted that he lost the last election, but by a whisker. But Vance continues to deny what the whole world has seen with their own eyes.
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
They call it a peaceful activity. So the outcome of this activity, of this election, is not only going to be analyzed by pundits and dissected political science classes, but it's going to be poured over for generations. And we're going to have to live with the consequences of this for generations. You know, in other countries, traitors are executed on the spot. But in America, we don't use tanks or flamethrowers or napalm to put down the opposition. But one candidate thinks military intervention is good in the electoral process.
Yeah.
And it's okay to hang Mike Pence. And that's just beyond the pale.
If
I had my way, this election would expose these toxic and dishonest men and women, and they would ban them for 15 years to life.
Well,
you know, we have to make sure that we win, and by a huge margin.
Well, and you're helping to expose that. And yes, in fact, Donald Trump has said repeatedly that he would use the U.S. military against his domestic political enemies, just like in those countries you're talking about. And by the way, Randy, that 700 senior national security officials, it's now up to 1,000 who have signed on to that letter. One of them tweeted over the weekend, said, where Vice President Harris is prepared and strategic, Donald Trump is impulsive and ill-informed. This was from John Culver, a former CIA analyst. He said he concurred. He said, quote, I've been in the room with Trump many times. Vote for Harris, he added. Thanks. I appreciate your call, Randy.
Before you go, one other thing.
Yeah, quickly.
I donated and got to the Sexy Liberal show last weekend.
Oh, good.
It was wonderful.
Oh, fantastic.
I strongly recommend people donate and get involved. And for me, it was great being in a whole auditorium filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who all felt the same way. It was really, really rewarding.
Awesome, Randy. Thank you. I'm glad you. Thank you for donating to KPFK, and I'm really glad you enjoyed that show, brother. Thank you. And thanks for calling in today. I got to go. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Charlie in Northridge. Is that our friend Charlie from KPFK?
Yeah, this is Charlie.
Okay, hey, Charlie. Now, you know that we're not. Charlie is a volunteer here at KPFK. Thank you very much for that, Charlie. You and I have talked off air about your position. You're a strong Green Party supporter. And I should note that we are supposed to be taking calls from people who are talking to people like you, Charlie. Last week, we actually had people like you call in. But anyway, I will let you come on in because you get a break because you work at KPFK. So well done, Charlie. How can I help you, sir?
All right. Well, I'm very thankful that I have someone that I can vote for that I believe in her values, which is Jill Stein. For a lot of people, a lot of us, Gaza, the genocide of Gaza is a red line that we don't want to vote for either candidate who brags on being the most pro-Israel. And it turns out that Kamala Harris has had many chances to criticize the behavior of Israel. Many war crimes were committed in the last year, and she always says that she will support Israel no matter what. And she has never even allowed Palestinians to speak at her when she was endorsed as the Democratic Party candidate.
All right, well, fair.
And I would like to say also that yes. Bernie Sanders, who's saying to vote for her himself, who I supported even though I was a Green Party, twice. I saw the Democratic Party sabotage him twice and made him lose because of their manipulation. So
yeah.
Those of us in the Green Party who are eco-socialists would really like to see an anti-capitalist movement to take on the billionaires. And the problem is the Democratic Party is really in bed with the billionaires and taking big money and really a huge part of the military-industrial complex.
Okay.
That I expect will get us in World War III in the Middle East.
I understand. I know Donald Trump and both Russia agree with you on that. But, Charlie, just 2 points here. One, I study elections for a living. The Democrats did not make Bernie Sanders lose. That's one point. And the other quick question, and please give me a quick answer, Charlie. You're voting against Kamala Harris makes it more likely that Donald Trump will be the president of the United States. So do you think he's going
to... No, that's not true.
Well, of course it's true. Of course it's true.
People in the country don't even vote because they're not motivated. And so
what does that have to do with it?
What third parties do is give people who want to vote their conscience someone to vote for. Someone who can't vote for a pro-genocide candidate.
I understand, Charlie, and I've made that argument myself. I'm not against third parties. She's more than welcome to be on the ballot, but that doesn't mean you or I or anyone else has to vote for her. So you realize that when you vote for her instead of Kamala Harris or for her instead of Donald Trump, you're making it easier for whoever it is you oppose the most to win the presidency. You understand that?
No, that's okay. What you have to understand is all the voters in this category know that there's two lesser evils. One, each side has a lesser evil, and this lesser evil argument is what led to Trump. How could someone as horrible as Trump be doing so well?
I appreciate
it. And it's because the Democratic Party is so bad.
Okay.
They're so militaristic, ready to go to war and support the military-industrial complex anywhere.
Thank you, Charlie. I got to get out. I got a whole board of people here, so I do thank you for that, and I appreciate you saying as much. I do want to underscore that I don't believe Kamala Harris is evil at all, and the people who are making the lesser of two evil arguments are not people like me, but they are people like you who are supporting a third-party candidate, and that's fine. At your right. I will fight for your vote. Thank you for calling. Thank you for voting. No matter who it is you vote for. Let me go to Maura in Ventura. Hey, Maura. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Maura.
I have voted.
I have voted
for Kamala Harris and for a straight Democratic ticket.
Okay.
Despite having been a Republican and being a business owner most of my life.
Okay.
So, why?
Why?
Here's the thing. Kamala Harris has spelled out a reasonable, moderate plan. It is not a perfect plan, but voting is a bit like getting on a bus. You have the option to get on a bus or not get on a bus. And if you're going somewhere, you go to the bus that goes closest to where you're trying to go. Kamala Harris is in some ways a throwback candidate in that she has actually spelled out with great detail reasonable policies, including reasonable financial and taxation policies, that work for the majority of Americans, including supporting our veterans, including keeping Social Security in place, and including basically taking care of working people, as opposed to the tax policies, like the tax policies that Mr. Trump brought in and that we're still laboring under, where he greatly benefited and has promised to even further benefit the very, very wealthy.
Plus,
she's the only candidate that is likely to have the support in Congress and to be able to support and protect our civil rights across the country. If we have civil rights, we must have them nationally.
Thank you,
and
Maura.
I think that that is compelling.
I appreciate that. Excellent argument. I'm sorry to have to cut you off like everybody else, but thank you, Maura, for that argument. And by the way, following the instructions that I've asked callers to call in and make the case to the undecideds. And Maura, of course, a Republican, or at least a former Republican, actually did. I think we've got time for one more. I'm sorry, I know a lot of people are calling in, but let me get to Roger up in Minneapolis. Haven't heard from him in a while. And we need to know how it's going up there in Minneapolis, a classic, you know, are you in a swing? You're actually in Minneapolis, right?
Yes, so, I am. Brad, I'll be real quick.
Go ahead.
I am very proud of my Jewish heritage, and am also involved with Jewish Voice for Peace. And I want to make a plea to all people who support human rights and decency on our planet to vote for Harris, please. That's all I have to say. I'm quite sure we'll come through this with President Harris.
Well, we will see. Thanks for... Is the voting going okay in Minnesota, Tim Walz land?
Well, of course.
Of course.
I mean, we're a paragon of that kind of thing, don't you know?
All right. Keep up the good work, Roger. Thank you very much. We have got to get out. My thanks to everyone who called in, even those who I could not get to. My apologies. Oh, we'll have time in the near future to talk to you again, I suspect, and maybe on this very issue, depending on how things play out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other that we've ever done going back to the beginning of time, you can download them all for free at bradblog.com. You can also drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com and on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, I am the Brad Blog. We will see you there until we see you here, hopefully tomorrow. Buckle up. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.